There we go.
There we
Not that
go.
I really care, but
Yeah.
oh, it's not the original.
Wow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Toddcast. Sorry, Justin and I are just talking about dumb shit, and it's the usual, because it's just been a crazy week. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's been a crazy, weirdly, last night was the first night that I played my PlayStation since before the show. I'm trying to get back into playing Baldur's Gate, and I got to this one point, and I'm like, balls, I'm missing something to make this easier, so now I have to go back and do a bunch of other shit, and I'm just like, God damn it.
Man.
Anyway, so just some quick NDC things. We're still hiring in Cranberry, if anyone's interested in that. Let me know. Or stop in the store or email a resume, drop it off. It could be literally, I've never had a job before, but I'm over 18 and I can lift 65 pounds. Not that you have to lift 65 pounds all the time, but you may have to do that every once in a while, because that's what a long box weighs. This Saturday in Elwood at the warehouse, we are blowing it out for 50 cents a piece. We have a lot of new stuff that needs a home. So please, for the love of God, come up 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. so it's cooler out. Cash only, 150 bucks a long box or 50 cents a piece plus tax. Come and shop it. Jason will be there hanging out. We'll have some cool wall books there too, so make sure you check that out. If you can't go there and you happen to be in Dayton, Gem City Comic Con's this weekend, so go check that out. It's a great show. It's a lot like ours, downtown Dayton in the convention center. It's a great time. The guys that put it on are good friends. They always put on a great show. A lot of good creators. Not as many creators as we have, but they're a little more vendor heavy and they're a little more comic heavy. But I think it's just because Dayton is like that, and their convention center is a little smaller. But it's a good time. Go check it out. I wish I could be there. If I didn't have to be in Wheeling on Saturday for a mini show, I would be there. And I have tickets to the Pirates on Sunday, so I'm gonna go watch them lose to the Phillies. It's gonna be great. So right. So yeah, make sure you check those out if you're downtown Wheeling on Saturday from, I think it's 10 to 4, 12 to 4, 12 to 5. I will be at the YMCA doing a mini show. I'll have some $5 trades, $5 sets, and $1 Funko Pops because I'm trying to get rid of them. So come and hang out. It's gonna be a good time. It'll be just me. Yeah, be a lot
Yeah.
of fun. So
John has put me on hiatus for shows for a little bit.
well, it's not really that. It's that we don't really have a lot of shows to need you for,
True. I just
because I
remember being in a lot more shows the last couple of years, and this year feels very
mean the next one I need
off.
you for is probably Neo, which is in like August. And then also in August is Harrisburg and West Virginia, but I don't need you for that either. I only have we just have a single booth. It's not a big deal. But after that, we don't really have anything until Canton, and that's just another small one that, but that one's at least a bigger booth, so I probably need you for that one. And Neo, like I said. So, but anyway. So lots of stuff happening this week. So we have the Acolyte season finale. We have the Boys season 4 finale. We had the Captain America Brave New World trailer drop. And then it was a big comic week. So we're gonna head into comics, and then we'll do some quick spoiler filled reviews of those other three things that we just talked about.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll do the trailer first, so if you don't want to like be completely spoiled by other stuff. I will just say that I had a hell of a good time watching all of it. So anyway, I'm not missing anything. I don't think so. Sorry, it's been a long
No.
day. Damn. Here we go. Oh, I get to go first. How about that? My first book is Red Coat number 4. So this picks up with Einstein and well, I can't think of his name. Simon Pure, trapped on a ship, or being trapped by the they're on a boat. They end up getting trapped by the other guys that like the weird crazy cult guys that want to try to kill him. And they take him to an underground pyramid. They have him strapped down. They want to kill him. Their leader comes over, and he's like, you're gonna die. We're gonna kill you. We just need to make sure that you actually die. We're gonna take this power for ourselves. And he's like, well, who the hell are you? And he's like, well, I'm the Grand Architect. And he says, the Grand Architect of America's death. Which I find interesting when you find out who he is later. So anyway, they escape. They use some magic to get out of this crazy dark thing, and then they end up at a cherry like a cherry tree grove, and Benedict Arnold's there, and they like kind of team up, and then you find out that the Grand Architect, or the bad guy, the head bad guy, is actually an immortal version of George Washington. So
Huh.
yeah, so it's actually kind of interesting the way they do that. And they push old George out to be the bad guy. This book is just very good. I think it's gonna be real good for people in trade because it moves very fast. The art's freaking spectacular, and it's a good time, like especially if you're into like early America, like Revolutionary War stuff. It's got a lot of nods to that. It's got a lot of nods to like post Civil War US before World War I. I'm going to give this, oh man, I'm going to give this a bowl of fruit because it is a super weird, and it is just, it's tasty, but it's all over the place, and I love it for that reason. So
Nice.
that's why it's getting that. And like, it's not even getting a drink, it's just a bowl of fruit. So
Oh, you're getting all the juice from the fruit anyway. It's all good.
that's I guess that's fair. So all right, let me get back to that. Boop.
There you go. We got this is, I guess it's X-Men, Laura Kinney as Wolverine, Bloodhunt. It is a one shot. This is Laura Kinney taking out a bunch of vamps. She ends up finding Gabby, who is being used for blood transfusion by the vampires. They were experimenting to see if mutant blood will help the vampires survive, or give them abilities, stuff like that.
You mean Honey Badger, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, Honey Badger, but AKA Gabby.
I know, I just find it funny that like her code name's Honey Badger.
Honey Badger, yeah. Gabby is like, well, we have to help this other person. They have him trapped too. I find out they are experimenting on, how do you pronounce this his name? Exorus?
What?
Xarus, Xerus, who happens to be Dracula's son. They have him all hooked up, and they have all sorts of bags of mutant blood injected into him and shit. And Gabby and Laura are fighting whether or not they should help him, going, look, he's a vampire too. And Gabby's like, but he's not like the current vampires in the Blood Hunt series here, or event, I should say. And they're fighting to help him, and then they get attacked by more vampires. Laura takes care of him pretty quick, but then one pops up and she's like, I know I sliced this one. And she noticed it had a healing factor like Gabby. So mutant blood takes time in vampires to apparently settle or evolve in a vampire, I guess. As she realizes this, Exorus ends up exploding.
Hold on. I'm putting this into a website that will tell us how to say his name. 'Cause I'm like, that is a weird name. Come on. Xarus, correct?
Xerus. But
Come on.
he
Anyway, keep going until I find it.
explodes, kind of like Cyclops, where you see this burst of energy like exploding out of him. Well, Cyclops or Havoc, it depends on it, but it's definitely like a energy blast. Well, that takes care of like the whole room. You do find out that he is dying because there's a stake in his heart. Literally, there's a plank like that right lodged in his heart. And they just Laura decides to save him and by letting him drink her blood, because she's trusting him. And that's the way the book ends. I honestly think this should be more than a one shot, but hey, it's a cool little, side story. I kind of like the Laura Kinney as Wolverine. I know a lot of people have didn't like it at first. They've kind of gotten used to it now, even though we have 616 Wolverine back. But she still dons the Wolverine outfit and still considers herself Wolverine. I thought this was pretty good. Give me some. I'm just going to give this scrambled eggs, just bacon and orange juice. It wasn't spectacular, but it was a nice story. The art is solid because anytime Laura Kinney, X-23, the Wolverine, whatever her title is, whenever there's a book with her in it, the art is awesome because they definitely profile her. I know there's the Peach Momoko cover. So, you Peach Momoko lovers or haters, yes, there is a another X-23 Peach Momoko cover. I think there's a couple other covers too, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a nice little side story for Blood Hunt. I haven't even read any of the Blood Hunt, the main event stuff. I've been reading all the side stuff, and it's actually far more interesting, the side stuff, than
Oh,
the
wow.
actual the Blood Hunt seems to be. So
Cool. So it's pronounced Zurus, by the way.
Zorus. Okay, that
Zurus. Z it's
Zurus.
like
So kind of
Zurus.
like Zeus, but z with
Sorta,
yeah.
maybe. Yeah. Anyway. All right. You gave this a breakfast. My bad. I was like, oh yeah. And then you went on to talk about how she's awesome and her art's awesome, and that's why I got lost. All right. Speaking of awesome art and another awesome female, like badass Daredevil Woman Without Fear, number one by Erica Schultz. This book was hella good. Daniel Dowling does the artist, or does the art. Dee Cunniff is the colorist. And they all work really well together. Like, the art in this book fits the story. It starts out with Elektra and Alice, right? That's the girl. They're kind of training, and she ends up getting abducted when she comes home. Like, the Alice girl goes out, is kind of like training to be also like a vigilante. Comes home, like, her knuckles are all bleedy and or bloody, and puts them in ice and stuff, and ends up getting abducted. Elektra comes back and it's like, where the hell is she? Like, what's going on? All of a sudden, a flip phone, a burner phone she hasn't used in years, starts ringing. She ends up going to Madripoor. She's on a train, and she's trying to figure out who her contact is. Ends up being Crossbones, trying to attack her, and another guy with a gun. And there's a great scene where, like, she throws a psi and it just goes right into the barrel. Like, and the guy's like, God damn it. And he's like trying to pull it apart. It's really funny. And then, she takes them both out, eventually takes out Crossbones because he's just big. And then you see Alistair Smythe and, or I'm sorry, Silvermane and Count Nefaria playing poker at a casino, and they're apparently going to be the bad guys. And where's the rest of it? It's a lot of the fight scene in the train. Oh yeah, and then the new Punisher shows up at the end. So I'm excited to see that, because I really like that new Punisher run that Dave Wactor and Dave Pepos did. So we're gonna see him in there. This book. Well, I'm not normally an Elektra fan or like a huge Daredevil fan. I really liked this book. Like, the vibe was good. It was very Daredevil. It was very, like, there's a lot of action. If you like action in your comics, this is a book for you. The art's fantastic. So I'm gonna give this, I'm gonna give this like a three cheese omelet with bacon and a decaf coffee, because I feel like that's how Elektra would roll. So, but I really enjoyed it. So check it out for sure.
All right. It's
I
my
also
first.
read this book, but I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah. First Oni book that I am reviewing ever.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, it's not a Marvel book.
To be fair, I've been trying to do
Or an
independent
image
stuff.
book.
Yeah. So here's Oni. It looks like they're picking up a lot of licenses. I noticed on the
Yeah.
inside, it's not just biker mice, but a lot of the 80s toy, I
Yeah.
saw quite a bit there. So I'm kind of interested now. I may have to start reading some of the number ones of some of these that are coming out soon.
Dude, I'm excited for Sectors when they come out.
Yeah, I saw Sector.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Battle Beasts though, because I know Battle Beasts have been done before, but give me another Battle Beast comic book, because I'd read that and give a review. But this is Biker Mice from Mars, number one. For those 90s kids that watch this was the tail, like, I want to say this is the tail end of the we make toys because we made a cartoon and we just make toys and strict for it. Like, I remember watching this. It was between this and Street Sharks, one of the two. Those
I
tend to
always
be the
considered
end.
this a little more 90s than 80s, but
But Street Sharks was also 90s too. It was like 1990
Or
exactly.
yeah, like right at the 90s.
There, yeah. Where I think Biker Mice was like 93 or something. It was definitely like I was definitely in junior high when this came out, but it was just teenage angsty enough for me to watch it and still consider myself cool. But anyway, to the book.
Good luck with
We
that. Hold on,
Biker.
I'm gonna see when it actually came out because no,
Okay.
93, you're right, 93.
There you go. Ha ha.
Good
I
job.
remember some shit. Okay, this
What?
is Mars 2091 is the year that they're marking this. So the biker mice are riding to, I guess, a family cookout, and you notice the difference in the biker mice from the ones we knew. They're not torn apart. They look completely normal. Was it the what's the gray one's name? Moto.
Whoa, hold on. Did you know there was a sequel series in two in 19 No, 2006. There was a sequel series,
No, I
one
did not.
season. Yep.
Wow.
Anyway.
Exactly the number of seasons for the first one
No,
here.
the first one had three seasons.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, continue on. Sorry, my bad.
You see, Moto is not missing his arm. He's not wearing an eye patch. Vinny has his complete face. So this is before we meet them in the cartoons. During this cookout, the young mice of the family, I think I'm assuming this is Moto's family, they get attacked by the Plutoni, is it Plutonians? Plutarchians? That's it, Plutarchians, or the Fish Boys, if you want to go that route. They get attacked by this construction vehicle. They destroy the vehicle. And you're seeing where the Mars War is starting. You see a lot of strife of how they Plutonian or Plutarians, the fish guys, I'm just gonna say fish guys, grease the palms of the Mars mice government to let them, destroy the environment of Mars. They end up becoming vigilantes. You're seeing a lot of the background of the three of all three that we never knew about. For instance, Throttle had a mother who had Alzheimer's. You see, Moto has like an entire family, like huge family. And then you see Vinny had his parents are dead. So the only family he has are basically his brothers in bikes. But it's you start to see a little like conflicts here and there. They were debating on joining the army, the rebellion army. In the end, they decide that they are going to join the rebellion army. And that is the end of this book. I'm kind of excited for this. I think if any, we've seen the He we've seen He-Man come in comics. We've seen Thundercats. We've seen Gargoyles. I think we need to see more of the '90s stuff that we, I think, would be perfect for comic books. Hence, Biker Mice, Street Sharks. I don't know if there's is there a Street Shark comic book currently?
No,
There should be.
there should be.
There should be. But there's all these toy lines that we remember as kids should have current new comic book stuff that maybe add to the lore that we never got when we were
Yeah.
kids. Because they again, this was made to sell toys. That's it. The cartoon really doesn't have a lot of deep meaning in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Other than maybe like a little bit of the environment, protect your home, stuff like that. But if you're going to go that route, you might as well do Captain Planet, because that was all about the environment.
Yeah.
So, but I really enjoyed this. The art was really good. I like the main cover, but the variant cover was way better in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did not get the variant cover because whoever touched it bent the living crap out of the spine. So I don't want it in my, to have it unless I could get like one that's not looks like someone beat it up
It may
already.
have just come that way too, so.
Yeah. But I like this. Give me some. What did biker mice eat?
Cheese.
I knew cheese, but I think they weren't they hot. They ate a lot of hot dogs and stuff, if I
Yeah.
remember right. I don't know if there's like a breakfast hot dog that I can like make it like a breakfast thing out of
I
that.
imagine they would eat a burrito, so.
There we go. Okay, we'll do breakfast burrito, chopped up hot dogs in it or something. We'll do that,
Gross. Gross.
Hey, don't knock it till you try it. I'm sure it's
That's
pretty good.
fair.
You slap some cheese, some hot sauce on there, good to go. It's okay.
Terrible.
You'll be
Terrible.
regretting it on the toilet later, but I guarantee it tastes good
Right?
going
Exactly.
down.
All right. Well, so my last book is Witchblade Volume 3, Number 1. So this is the second relaunch of Witchblade. But this is also the return of Sarah Pannese as the main character. Marguerite Bennett's the writer, Giuseppe Cafaro is the artist. The art and everything in this book is so good. It's very, very Witchblade. There's a back like there's a whole like letter section from Mark Silvestri where he talks about like how he ended up in a limo with Marguerite Bennett on the way to a con, and like they just talked about Witchblade because he thought she'd be a good person for it. So it starts out with Sarah talking about how she's gonna be or she's gonna be looking for her father's killers. Then you get to see like oh man, what's this dude's name? Irons like digging for the Witchblade, and he has a girl on the staff to dig it up and find it, and it kind of takes her over, but it knows that she's not going to be the final destination for it. So they basically follow it, hopping from people to New York, which is actually kind of a cool thing to watch. And Sarah's a detective, who was a Marine for a while. So she's kind, I don't know if she's doing undercover at this point or if she's just trying to meet with this other guy. And she's really just trying to find the people who killed her dad. And all of a sudden the Witchblade itself bursts in the like she's going through this test of this guy sitting on the ground that they've already beat up, and they want him to shoot him in the head. So she pulls the trigger and it just clicks. And before anything else can happen, the guy's like, "Oh, sweet, it was just a test, blah blah blah." Like the girl previous that had the Witchblade busts through this window on a motorcycle. The Witchblade itself flies off, cuts the guy's head in half, lands on her arm. She ends up getting empowered by the Witchblade. There's like a full double page spread of like her in the armor, which is redesigned obviously to do two things. One, homage the original armor, and two, not be so naked. Like it's actually more armor. It's more like more it's more like the armor we saw in the second series of Witchblade, where it wasn't Sarah, but this is a little more Turner-esque, I should say, and Sylvester-esque. And she ends up, slicing and dicing everybody, gets shot in the chest. The bullet pops out of her. She's like, "What the hell?" Right. So she finds this guy who's trafficking women, saves a bunch of women. And then at the end, you see Nottingham being like, "Hey, I know who has the Witchblade." And we know he's like kind of like her pseudo protector. It's a cool process gallery where like they show the sketches of the like the redesign for everything. There's sketches of like how they redesign people. There's page process where they go, here's the thumbnail, here's the inks, and then the full color, and then the full color with the lettering on it. And it's just awesome how they ended up doing some of this. I'm really impressed with how good this book is. I really enjoyed the shit out of it, and I'm gonna definitely read the rest of it. So I'm giving this like this is getting the full tremendous 12. This is so good. Like it's just
Nice.
a lot and it's great. If you like the old Witchblade, you're gonna love this. Mark Silvestri has a hand in keeping the legacy, while they're rebooting the original legacy, he's gonna make sure that it does good. So I definitely really, really recommend that. And I thought the book was fantastic. So boop.
All right. My final book is Hulk number 14. It's been a while since we did Incredible Hulk, the regular series. We see Bruce entering Vegas as a truck tries to run him over. And he ends up getting transported into what's called the Hulkscape, which is basically like what's like it be what it's like for him inside as Hulk is out in the world, and it's the internal thing. We see Banner is talking to Rick, who's in there for some reason, and they go through it's almost kind of a review, if you haven't been keeping up with Hulk lately, of all the things that Banner has done to Hulk in the last volume and even the volume a little bit before, about what he did to Hulk with him trying to use the Hulk's power by controlling Hulk and keeping him trapped, and also about Betty trying to force her being back to human instead of letting her be. And it's a giant, philosophy of you let things happen and don't try to force change things back the way they were. And Rick is like, well, if you can't find, they were saying that there's this beam of light, and if he can't reach, Banner can't reach the beam of light, he's going to be stuck in the Hulk's forever, and it's just going to be Hulk, could like and keeping Banner so locked up inside. He reaches this point, and it turns out Rick was just Hulk messing with Banner. And then we see Betty, who is apparently she's in cahoots with the eldest. Who, for those who haven't read Hulk in a lot in this current run, the eldest is basically the new bad guy who is after Hulk for his power, because what else is Hulk good for but power and trying to control that power, but this is on a supernatural level instead of a general trying to control for the good of a country. This is a supernatural presence trying to control him to use to take over the world. And Betty is like, well, Bruce, you have to get Hulk to fight the eldest who has taken over Charlene, who was the girl from the very beginning of the series. The eldest has currently taken over her body, which happened a few issues ago. And that's kind of where it ends, is what is Bruce going to do from this point? This is really good. Again, I like where this is going. I like when Hulk is involved in a horror-esque situation rather than just being, hero or being a empty shell for Bruce to use as a spaceship. This is much better than the last. This reminds me a lot of Immortal Hulk, this current volume, which is a good thing. The artist, again, it's a little off with me, but I'm pushing through. I don't mind it. Like, Hulk looks good. It's just sometimes with the people, it doesn't look quite the way I would want a person to look on a page. But that is a my own critique. This book also comes with a Wolverine Deadpool mini story in here. So Marvel's starting to do that a little bit, where they're putting in mini stories with certain books now. It was a decent little Wolverine Deadpool, of course, because of Wolverine Deadpool coming up here next week. So, but I'm gonna give this some eggs with some sausage and give me some coffee here, because apparently you have to wake up a little bit.
Fair enough.
You done, baby girl? No, this wasn't too bad.
That's good. Right. Bam. So I put that last in the order so that we could then segue into the trailer for Captain America.
Yes.
So firstly, you don't want spoilers, you don't want to hear our opinions on any of this stuff. Now's your time. We'll see you
Yeah.
next week. Pause,
Yes.
come back. It'll be great. Sorry, I almost went Arnold there.
Do
Which, by the way, did I send you
the
the
chopper. Do the
did I
chopper.
send you the Arnold Schwarzenegger does like the Arnold Schwarzenegger AI'd impression that I get? Like,
Yes, you
oh my
sent me
God,
that.
it's fucking hilarious.
That's
Anyway,
pretty good.
so here's how I feel about this. I think this looks really, really good, and I think it looks very like phase one or two Marvel. Like, it looks older, like it would fit more with like where Winter Soldier was,
Yes.
which is what I like about it. Am I super excited to have Harrison Ford play Thunderbolt Ross? Meh. Yeah, I mean, like, no offense, but he's just getting older. And
Yeah.
how many times are we gonna get him? That's really the question.
Yeah.
Oh man, hold on, I gotta look up who this actor's name.
Well, he passed away. That's why Harrison Ford took over, correct? The previous.
I thought he was
No, he
I
passed
thought he
away.
yeah, I know he passed away, but I thought they cast him before that.
They might have.
I'm excited to see Tim Blake Nelson come back as Samuel Stearns, aka the
The
leader.
leader, yes.
Like,
You
I'm
saw the little
so
hints of
excited
the
for that.
leader watching, and I'm all for it. We as Hulk fans have been waiting because, again, She-Hulk I didn't mind, but I was kind of hoping to see the leader. We did see a good looking Abomination, not necessarily the most serious version of Abomination,
Right.
but if we get a serious leader trying to take over the world, and he looks creepy with the big head and the genius level of everything, I'm
Yeah.
cool with it. I'm cool with it.
It looks like we're getting Isaiah Bradley back into this too.
Yeah, it's
Like the
a lot of
character.
recurring guys, yes.
Well, the reason I bring that up is 'cause now they're fleshing out even more the Young Avengers thing, 'cause
Yeah.
he is the Black Captain America, the original Black Captain America. So it's gonna be like kind of a handoff. But I'm hoping to see some Patriot in it. I think it'll be a lot of fun to see that.
I
But
did
good
like the
God.
we're getting a better Captain America outfit by the looks of it. You see the one that they ended the series on, the comic accurate one, which it was fine, but I thought, wow, that is a lot of white.
Yeah, you don't realize how white it
White it
is until you
is,
see
yeah.
it. Then you're like, damn,
Yeah, that was a lot of
right?
white. But if you watch the trailer, you see he was in a different outfit. And it looks really good. And I'm really looking
Yeah.
forward to it. And you see him fly with the shield, which I'm really excited to see as well.
Right.
So,
I'm trying to find a good picture of it in on IMDb. There really isn't one,
yeah,
though.
it was hard because the trailer did go very, very fast. It was
I'm
very
just really
fast.
excited for Red Hulk. Like that, I'll be honest. I'm
Yes,
just excited
yeah.
for that. So.
I like that. I like the, like you said, Harrison Ford is a good actor. He'll do fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we'll get him. You may have to re recast in a couple of years here. But look how long they've kept Hugh Jackman and
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart. I mean,
Yep.
Patrick Stewart's way older than Harrison Ford, and he's
Yep.
still doing Professor X. So,
Yeah.
we
Yeah.
don't want him getting too old, but we definitely need a gentleman in his late 50s, 60s age
Yeah.
that to be a General Ross or President Ross, as he's going to be in this one. And that vignette of Hulk throwing the shield down into the cement,
Yeah, that
like
was
I was
awesome.
telling you before we started up, was that Hulk looked a lot better than the She-Hulk Hulks. Like the color looked better to me. Just, and
I
I
don't
know it's
know.
green and
Like,
red are different. They look different
yeah.
on the screen. But for some reason, that red looked more like he was in the real world and not just inserted like artificially with the rest of the,
Yeah, but
background,
like, so, but the thing about She-Hulk was most of the CGI was just her face, because that was like a real person that they just CGI'd her face onto.
Yeah.
That was just, and she
But I
was
think
painted green.
it was just the color. I think green is such a hard color to
I think they
mess
tried
with.
to make a, I think on She-Hulk, they tried to make her a lighter color of green, because Bruce looked fine, because he was a darker green. But, and we'll see how it looks, but it's also the difference between TV budget and movie
Movie
budget,
budget.
right? So that's kind of why I'm like, eh, we'll see. But
Yeah,
I
but
think it all
it's
looks,
this looks promising to me.
yeah.
It's the this definitely maybe will this will be the next step after Deadpool Wolverine in making the MCU on a bet on an uphill, So we'll see. Although I have seen the spec books for first appearance of Red Hulk going up, 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 up.
Yeah, I think it
So
bumped up to like around, I think the most I saw it was like 160-ish.
yeah, something like
So
that.
it was like around 100 for a while, but
Yeah. Well, Red Hulk is a very popular version of Hulk.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, we're gonna also get, remember, we're also gonna get Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four next year. So we're gonna get three movies. It's gonna be good time, I think. So,
Think
all right.
so.
Let's talk about Acolyte, I guess.
Okay.
Well, as much as I enjoyed it, and I did, it's very predictable,
Yes.
but I didn't see them killing Soul. That was interesting. But everything else about it, I was like, oh yeah, called that, called that, called that. And then I was weirded out that the like the green Jedi lady actually didn't end up being that bad. Like, she just covered up everything and that was it. Like,
You wanted her to be more sinister.
I did. I wanted her to be like, I wanted her to die because I thought she was, you know, not being
Well, they
cool,
left
but
it wide open for if a season two does happen, we may see more sinister things up,
right.
to be fair.
Or we just might see other stories in the High Republic, which would be totally fine by me. I thought it was good, even if it's just this one season. I thought it was good. I liked the pacing. I liked like the kind of samurai kung fu vibe it had the whole time.
Like, can we talk about that lightsaber battle? Can we
Yeah.
say that was easily top three Star Wars lightsaber battle we've seen?
I don't know about top three, maybe top five. Maybe. I
Like
mean,
that, it was almost more Matrix than it was
so
Star
yeah,
Wars,
right.
which for me as a Matrix buff, I can appreciate without making it too Neo. It was still pretty sweet.
Because like, okay, so what are your top three? What are your top three lightsaber battles?
Lightsaber battles. I'm
No
gonna
particular
go,
order, no
no
particular order.
particular order.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan in the OG because that was the first lightsaber battle. And that has
I can't rank that high.
I don't well.
I will take the Vader Obi-Wan in the finale of Obi-Wan. That fucking lightsaber battle was
I think that was more a
badass.
force battle than it was lightsaber,
Whatever. It was
yeah, but
still
it,
the lightsabers were involved.
yeah, but I mean actual
Saber fights.
lightsaber, Darth Maul in episode one, lightsaber battle, that's up there.
That's probably, yeah, I'll probably say agree with you that I'd put that in there. My rounding up my third is Yoda and Count Dooku from Attack of the Clones, because that
That
was the
was
first
neat.
time we saw
Time we got to see
Yoda,
what
and
Yoda,
holy shit, was it awesome! He was like bouncing everywhere, like he's got his little tiny lightsaber. He's just whacking. Like, it was awesome. It
That
was
was
so
pretty
good.
good. That was pretty good. But well, if we're going top five, that would definitely be top five for me. Like, but I do remember the lightsaber of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader had a big impact.
Okay, I'll
And
give you that.
I take that into consideration. It may have not been fantastically, oh my God, but I think back then in the 70s or when we were little kids first seeing this, we're like, that is the coolest thing. And that started the ball rolling. So I give that's where I add
See,
that on there.
I understand why you put it in there for
Nostalgic reasons and yes,
relevance,
relevance would be
but
that.
I think the problem I have with lightsaber battles in the original series, the original trilogy, is that they're just really boring. They're very, I'm going to stand here and we're going to hit swords together and they're going to make sounds, but it's not like they're actually doing anything. The first time we really got a lightsaber battle in the original trilogy that did something, where like they actually did more than just meh, was in Return of the Jedi
With
with
Luke
Luke
and
and Vader.
Vader.
And that
That
was,
would be the rounding out for me was his battle with Vader.
Okay.
there.
That'd probably be my four, and then I'd probably put this one, because it was good for the top five, I guess, for me.
Yeah.
So, all right. All in all, I gave the show like 3.5 out of 5. I thought it was good. There were some slow parts,
Yeah.
but it was pretty, like, I enjoyed it more than I didn't. I don't know if I'll rewatch it again anytime soon, but
Yeah.
it's fine.
My issue with this episode was, why couldn't you have that much intensity and drama throughout the whole series? It felt off and on too much in this series, you
Fair
know,
enough.
and this one was, it was everything I think we were hoping the Acolyte as a whole would have been. Instead of making that last episode, everything comes together, and I'm like, why wasn't it this? Why wasn't the whole series good as this final episode?
Right.
Because you got to see good lightsaber battle. You got to see, the Jedi kind of covering their butts a little bit. You got to see Darth Plagueis. That was nice, because that's what I was hoping we'd see sometime in this episode. And then we got to see Yoda in there too. So, like I said, it as far as looking at it as an objective fan of pop culture in general, it was fine. It was okay. It was average in this day and age. It's average. It wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't so bad as a lot of hardcore Star Wars fans have been putting it through.
Yeah, like,
I
anything
think,
that's not the same exact thing as before. Yeah.
well, I think it's even the fact that like it went certain routes because of certain, because the director and the writer were women, and they, what do you know about Star Wars? And it's, we got to get out of that mindset that, Star Wars, like stuff like this is not just for the white male demographic or the male demographic. It is for everyone.
Yeah, but I
So,
mean they took a lot from books that were written by dudes. So, let's see. Hold on. Let's see what this episode got rated on IMDb. Wow, it got a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Wow, considering the rest of it got, rest of it was like a one, I think. Like most
Yeah.
of the episodes were like a one or a two, I think. So the fact it got it went, rose up into the five, over a five, it means that it was probably a superior episode.
Oh, that's right. This is the first time we in live action we got to see a kyber sable being
Turned into a,
drained,
yes,
bled
bled,
out.
yeah. Which was a cool event in of itself. I think a lot of Star Wars fans, we've only seen that, what, it's that you read about it in books, or you saw, what was it, the, when Vader did his in the comic book. It's not really, you don't get to see something like that, which I think is a very cool like, say Easter egg. I guess it'd be Easter egg for Star Wars fans. So, it's, you got, you, there were some positive things. I'm sure as the years go by, this will be looked at in a more positive light than
I agree.
negative.
All right. The last thing we have to talk about, boys season finale. I really don't know what I'm going to watch after this week because, like, I don't have a lot of stuff coming up for a while.
Yeah, it's back to watching a lot of anime for me.
Actually, I just started watching Presumed Innocent on Apple, and it's like a redo of the Harrison Ford movie from 1990, I want to say.
Is that the
It's
one
pretty
where
good.
he's like an FBI guy trying to infiltrate the Amish or something?
No, it's he's a lawyer that gets charges brought against him when his mistress dies. And then in the movie, like spoilers in the movie, you find out that actually ends up being his wife who killed her and planted a bunch of evidence that should have been pointed at her, but ended up going back to him. So I don't know how this show is going to work out, but it's Jake Gyllenhaal and Peter Skarsgård, and like it'll be good. Like it's been very good. If you have Apple, check it out. I recommend it. All right. But anyway, boys. So,
Wow. Wow.
yeah, I really appreciated the fact that they put the basically the trigger warning at the beginning, like the you know in light of all the things that have happened this weekend, like you know this was this they do not you know condone
Condone violence.
political violence or anything like
Yeah.
that, because this was really very
This is very
crazy.
eerie that they made this
Yeah, right.
season. And
It stuff happened this weekend, yeah.
yeah, and the fact that so much crap was like, damn, like
Yeah.
spot on. And you're
We're
like,
very just very
ooh.
just very eerily. Yeah. I really liked it. I enjoyed I enjoyed pretty much the whole thing. It kind of the way it wraps up where everybody's kind of like going into hiding and
Yeah.
stuff. It feels very end of like Empire Strikes Back, right? Where like
Yeah.
everybody's going into hiding. And Butcher's left with freaking superpowers and he's gonna just go and try to kill Homelander by
Homelander
himself.
again.
Like I really didn't know if they were gonna kill the vice president-elect chick,
Yeah.
but they did.
I didn't think she could be killed until like, oh,
Yeah.
okay, that's how she goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kimiko
Okay.
actually speaking was freaking weird.
Yeah.
But all in all, though, I thought it was very, very good. The story moved very good this season, very fast. And like I
Yeah.
said, it's still for like the least sexual like season they've ever had. This was really, really good. So, oh, did we ever see what Ashley turned into when she took the V? I can't
No,
remember.
you
Okay.
just you see her head like bubbling, but that you don't see anything after that.
Right. So, I'm curious to see how Ryan's story arc is going to play out. I'm curious to see Soldier Boy back.
Oh, is he coming back for the next season?
Well, at the end, you saw him at the end in the that's who was in the ice box with Soldier Boy, like
Oh.
at the end, because that's his dad. So, and they were like, "Oh, we found him," and they have him under ice again. So,
Okay.
yeah, he'll be back next season. I like this whole season's Huey and Starlight storyline. I thought it was very well done. I really just want Mother's Milk to grow a fucking beard again. So.
Well, it's going to start out, the this season is going to start out with them all pretty much being apprehended, except
Yeah.
Butcher. So I want to see how they escape or how that happens, because there's nobody that can really help them right now. Like maybe Ashley,
Maybe.
if it maybe A Train. Maybe we might see Maeve come back.
Yeah, it's true because we haven't seen Maeve, so.
Yeah, so Maeve is still out there, A Train is still out there. Ashley may turn against them because she's afraid for her life. But yeah, like everybody else in the world is pretty much like on Homelander's, thing. And I give the actress who played Sage, wow,
Yeah.
the fact that she's like, yeah, I planned all this shit, was pretty much going to happen the way I thought it was. I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah, when that came, when she said that, I was like, yeah, that's pretty right. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Because you like, I kind of was like wondering why she would let things happen or why she didn't like catch on to certain things. I'm like, no, she let them happen because they had to run their course. And yeah, I was like, wow.
I'm curious to know if they're going to tie in Generation V more to this next season. Because
Well, they
they
definitely
did, they
did.
had the two kids that survived it showed up in there. Because the one actor died, the one that was on Sabrina. He died in a motorcycle accident like the beginning of the summer.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. So yeah, it all in all, like if you've read The Boys, if you understand that it's not, if you understand who the bad guys really are, and that it's actually a satirical understanding that there are no real good guys, like you think, you know, or the idea that, you know, sometimes you have to take out, things are not always what they seem. It's actually very, I think the reason I loved it was very like Attack of the Clonesy, like prequely, where you're kind of like, oh, are the Jedi the good guys or are the Jedi the bad guys? Or are the clones the good guys or are they the bad guys? Because it
Yeah.
really makes you think about that kind of stuff, and that's what I liked about it. So, but all right. Well, that about wraps it up. We will see everybody next week. Might go see Deadpool beforehand. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm doing gonna see the Friday, making a giant family thing.
Nice.
So, you know, taking the day off on Fridays. Spending it with the family and making it a whole day. My wife even bought like Deadpool matching Deadpool shirts, Deadpool Wolverine shirts. So I was like, I will just wear one of my classic Wolverine shirts and I will be the
Nice.
outlier.
Way to be part of the bunch. So,
Yeah.
all right. Well, thanks a lot for watching, guys. We will catch you next week. Go read some comics. Pick them up at your local, support your local shop, whether it be us or not. It's awesome. And you know, keep an eye out for shows, some sales, all kinds of stuff. It's gonna be
Yeah.
a great time. So, all right. Talk to you later, guys. Thanks.